Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
Back, folks, after 1 week off from the talk show, Scotty and I are returning. Flat Track Weekly Radio, Tuesday night, as always, 8 p.m. Eastern. Stoked to be back on the show, Scotty. It was a good week off. Got married last Sunday and took a mini honeymoon to Charlotte. We left a little bit early, headed to Charlotte, but looking forward to the show tonight. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, too. Had a long trip. I was in Vegas, actually, for 8 days. Left there, went straight to Charlotte, and got situated there Friday night, did the race. I was at the racetrack there at Charlotte Motor Speedway pretty much all day Saturday. Got some things taken care of. We have a new producer, Brad Jones, formerly with Chet Birch Productions. He's in the booth now, and so he's the producer of the FansChoice.tv show, and I think we made some drastic changes, and we're going to keep getting better, and man, the facility was awesome. The races were all really good races. And, congratulations to you for making the main on your first go-around on that brand-new Vulcan that you're riding. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. The bike got finished on Friday night, so went into the race on Saturday. I didn't even know I was going to be racing, to be honest, because the bike, we were having issues with it starting on Friday night. They finally got it started, and found that I was racing Saturday morning, so that was exciting. I was stoked to just be out there racing, and I've been riding quite a bit and training and keep myself physically and mentally ready to go. So I was ready to rock and roll, just try to ride the bike as hard as I could. It was good. The bike was, for its first time out, without any dyno time, tuning it or anything, it was solid. So I'm actually leaving for Iowa in the morning. Going to take it out there and get it dyno and put on the dyno, get it tuned, and see what we got for Springfield coming up. But, yeah, I didn't have any expectations for Charlotte. Just was happy to be riding, get some testing in on this new Vulcan S motorcycle I was racing. And we ended up winning the semi, and we finished 13th in the main, which, you don't get excited about a 13th place finish. But to make the main, win the semi on a brand new, not even a brand new motorcycle, but a whole new platform. No one's ever ran a Vulcan S motor. So it was good for me. I was satisfied and I had a good time.
Sounds good. Tell us about the track. I mean, it went through several changes as we watched it all day long. When we got there, I thought, it looked perfect, and then it got dry real fast. Then it was wet, and then it grooved up. Everybody was chasing the bottom of the racetrack during qualifying, and then they put some water on it right before the main event, and everybody went to the high side. And how hard is that for a rider to adjust, and especially being on a brand-new motorcycle? But, how do you keep up with the changes on the racetrack? Were you guys just watching it and making changes as you saw them happen?
Yeah, I was watching every race I could. Normally I don't get to watch as much as I would like, but I knew how much the track was changing. Every time we got on the racetrack, it was different. So I was trying to watch as much as possible, more so than usual, just to make sure to adapt to those changes. Scotty, it was just crazy. The heat race, I went out there, and the two of the corners I was running low, and the other two corners I was running high. And then by the end of the semi, those two corners flip-flopped. I was running high in the corner I was running low, and vice versa. It was crazy. I've never been to Charlotte. Some of the older, the older guys, they've been there, and they got some experience for that type of, that track. The top three guys out front, Coolbeth, Meese, and Smith, I think they've all raced there before, so they kind of knew what to expect. A lot of us had no clue, and it was gnarly. I mean, in my semi, I ran the very bottom of the track. I watched the semi before me, and that seemed to be working well. So I got a good start, ran the bottom, and I actually ran my fastest lap time in the semi. I ran a 20.9, which was solid for that time of the day. And then once the track, the sun went down, everyone started riding the high line. I watched the GNC 2 main, and I was kind of getting nervous because my motorcycle wasn't geared for that type of racing up there on the high line. And sure enough, we got out there, everyone moved up high, the lap times dropped, and I was just smacking the rev limiter on the Vulcan S. She wasn't quite ready for the high line, you know, in the GNC 1 main. So I had to ride low. It wasn't the best, you know. It was a little slippery down there. The darker part right above the groove seemed to have the most traction. I just watched the main event on Fans Choice, the replay. I watched the whole main event, and it was a cool track, dude. It kept us on our toes, and you had to, you know, be ready for the changes. You went out every time. It was technical.
Yeah, it looked like it was a pretty fun track. Let's talk about the heartbreak again for Jared Meese. I mean, he was definitely catching the leader. He had the fastest lap of the main event with a 2:0.141, so that was just a little bit faster than Brian Smith's fast time. But after he got into the second place, he tracked down Brian Smith, and he might have had something for him. I don't know if he could have passed him with, you know, come to the white flags when the bike actually let go. So I don't know if he could have passed him in one lap or not, but I'm sure he would have given a hell of a shot at it. But, you know, what a change in the point standings now. I mean, it happened at the X Games, which was a one-off event. He just cost him a medal there. But here it cost him a ton
and
of points.
And a lot of money.
And a lot of money too. But you know, 20, you know, he went into the race with a 29-point lead. He leaves the race with a 6-point lead. So it's definitely tightened everything up. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that? I thought he handled it like a champ. I mean, Danny, the third member, she got an interview out of him, but you could obviously tell he was pretty pissed off.
I actually didn't even know he broke until I went back to the pits and someone told me. I asked them what place I got, and they're like, well, you got 13th, you know, Jared broke. And I actually thought I was in 11th or 12th. I didn't know I was that far back. I looked back, and there was a decent amount of guys behind me, but Henry Wiles took a provisional, so there was one extra rider out there, and he finished ahead of me. So I was credit with 13th, but I didn't know Jared broke, and like I said, until I came back in the pits, and I was pretty bummed. You know, I didn't really sink in. I was kind of just trying to cool down for my race, and then I was sitting there getting undressed. I'm like, oh, shit, you know, he lost all those points too. You know, I didn't even think about the points chase at the moment, and then it sunk in that he – you know, Brian won, got max points, and Jared, you know, he got 17th. I was like, man, that really tightened the points up. So it's a bummer. It's part of racing, and, yeah, it's just a crappy deal for Jared. I feel bad for him because it's you get, you know, he's just really on his game right now, and even when he's it's not his best day, he still finds ways to come around for the main event and be competitive. So I just can't – I mean, unless Jared has issues, it's very, very unlikely he finishes off the podium on any of these races. And that's – I race this sport, too. I know how difficult it is. So, yeah, it was a bummer. I don't know what to say about it, Scotty. It's just one of those deals. And I'm not even sure what happened. Did you hear what actually happened to the bike?
I heard it was, you know, upper end. I heard possibly – I don't know. I've heard several different things. But when we slowed it down in the replay and he pulled in the clutch, you could see sparks coming out of the tailpipe. So it's definitely internal, you know, engine parts, something let go. But, you know, they're revving those things so hard nowadays to keep up with Kawasaki's, and they're trying to get the most out of them and come up just one lap short. It's got to feel pretty bad. But my hat's off also to Danny Eslick making the main on the Harley there. And so he'll have a national number next year. And I did hear a rumor, and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen this weekend, but he's supposed to be riding one of the Bill Warner Kawasaki's this weekend is what I've been hearing. You heard that?
No, I didn't hear that. Cool. There's, yeah, it's quite a bit different from the Harley he's been on. I was actually impressed with Danny. You know, he's a great rider, but I honestly didn't expect him to make the final going in. He seemed like he's been just a few spots off every weekend, and all throughout the day at Charlotte, he looked awesome. So, I mean, I was surprised heading into it, but once I got there and I watched him, I wasn't that surprised. He rode good, real good. And, yeah, there was a lot of guys at Charlotte. There's 44 riders there. It was one of the busiest nationals of the year, so it wasn't an easy one to make. You know, a lot of great riders didn't make the main. Johnny Lewis, Jake Shoemaker, Nicole Meese, Wyatt McGuire, I expected him to be a little better there. You know, he finished, I think, top 10 at Black Hills, and he struggled a little bit. My sister Shana, she looked really good. I was hoping she would have followed me around and would have made the main in that semi, but she had a terrible start. There's just a lot of good riders who were watching the main event. And you mentioned about Jared possibly passing Smith. I heard he was really close to him, so I watched the main event today, and he really made a charge the last couple laps, but it would have took a lot for him to pass Brian. I think he would have finished a really solid second place, you know, but he definitely would have minimized the damage on the points more so than what actually happened. He walked away. You said a 6-point lead, and you had a mile coming up, and you have two more half miles that, you know, Brian was really good at Calistoga last year, even with the issues he had as far as the bike blowing smoke with the sight glass breaking. And I expect Brian to be, you know, he's seems like they have the twins program dialed in just about everywhere right now. So he'll be tough. You know, I expect Jared and Brian to be on the podium at all those races heading up to Las Vegas. And that's going to be a long month or month and a half for those two championship contenders. If it's a close points battle, just waiting around for a month and a half for an indoor short track where you don't know what's going to happen. You could be the fastest guy there and you have bad luck and you don't make the final. So, yeah, it could be interesting, Scotty. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested too. And you know, going to another brand new track, the Delaware International Speedway for the Roar on the Shore is going to be good. And then, like you said, going out back to Calistoga, and you just said Brian Smith runs really good there. We know Jared goes good there. So they're going to have a interesting little, you know, month and a half off as we wait for the flat track finals out there in Las Vegas. So another cool thing that happened, I don't know if you even heard what was going on. I don't know how good the PA system was down there in the pit area, but Mike Helton, the president of NASCAR, stopped by the booth during qualifying practice. That was really cool. And then during the GNC1 heat races, actually Justin Barcia came in there and sat in and watched a couple of heat races. And I thought it was cool that, you know, he said he's got the utmost respect for the flat trackers. And to hear that coming from a champion motocross racer, I think that was pretty cool. And he's actually shown some interest in racing the Super Prestigio in Las Vegas. So we'll have to see if that's going to happen. I know he was talking to Chris Carr about that. So I think it's cool to get some people to cross over and try our sport. You know, we've seen it before, and, you know, it's harder than it looks is what I'd like to tell him, you know, because it's definitely not easy racing with the best flat trackers in the world.
No, I always say it's easy to do. It's easy to go around the circle, but it's very, very hard to go fast and win at this level. I mean, I've been doing it my whole life, and haven't won that many pro races. I've never won a GNC race, but it's tough, man. It's a very competitive sport. Everyone's so equal. That's even so in the GNC1 class and the GNC2 class at Charlotte. Everyone was so close in times. I remember looking at the one practice session, and there were like 25 of us separated by a tenth of a second. It was crazy. So, yeah, I thought that was cool. I didn't know about the NASCAR president, but I saw Barcia bopping around there, and it was cool for him to come out to the race. I actually visited, you know, I spent the week in Charlotte for my honeymoon, a mini honeymoon, and I went over to the Joe Gibbs racing shop and saw Barcia and all those guys, and went over, checked out the NASCAR shop. And so that was really cool. I had a great week, Scotty. Charlotte's really cool. I enjoy it down there for sure. But yeah, a lot of great stuff in the GNC1 class and GNC2 class. My buddy Bronson Bauman took a well-deserved win. I was real excited to see him win. He has a lot of talent, and you know, it's been a long time coming. So it was cool to see him grab a win and look great on that XR750. It was a really good race going on. Four of them were battling. Two Kawasaki's, Ryan Varnes, who is another close friend of mine. It was cool to see him get a podium. His dad, Kevin, Reverend Varnes, he won the Charlotte National. I think it was in 01 or a long time ago. He won the Charlotte Half Mile. And so it was cool to see little Varnes go up there and get a podium. And then Davis Fisher grabbed the second. And I just saw, actually, Scotty, the AMA Pro Flat Track email, they sent out a tech inspection and violation log. It shows all the different, like, after practice, you know, qualifying, it shows all the machines that they kind of checked for fuel and weight and tires and all that stuff. Visual, they checked stroke at the end of the main event on the number 42 machine. They checked the carburetor sizes and manifold sizes on Coolbeth, Halbert, and Robinson's bike. I guess everyone's getting it now. They sent it out to everybody, but I saw at the end of the GNC 2 main, it says rider 67M protested rider 30Z for improper starting position on red flag restart. Protest disallowed. Video evidence was inconclusive. So I don't really – I haven't really had time to analyze what that all means, but I guess Fisher protested Bauman because he thought he jumped the start. I'm not sure. You know, I just read that on the tech bulletin. I'm going to go back and watch the footage and see what's going on. But, I mean, there's lasers that kind of – they check, you know, if you jump the start. So if the laser doesn't go off, I can't see how you could protest something like that. But I'm not sure exactly either. You know, I don't know the logistics of it. I just saw that on the tech bulletin.
Yeah, I heard part of that. I, you know, was sitting in the FansChoice.tv booth. I have the AMA Pro radio, you know, an earpiece in one ear. I'm trying to listen to Chris Carr talking to me in the other ear, and same time trying to listen to the producer talk to me. So there's a lot going on. I did hear something about after the race that somebody was filing a protest. I just didn't quite understand what all was going on. So I don't know. And it was on the single file restart, you know, because they had a red flag about halfway through their race, just like the GNC1 class did. And I don't know if Davis Fisher saying that Bronson was rolling forward or if he started too far to one side. I don't know what the exact protest was either, but it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, all plays out. You know, they are actually, you know, battling, you know, for the championship as well. So now they're first and second in the points. And so I can see that's why he would, you know, if Davis thought that something happened wrong, then that's why he's filing a protest because, you know, he's in second, you know, Bronson's in second in the points. Davis has a pretty commanding lead, so I don't know if he's going to catch him. But, you know, with four races, we just saw that anything can happen, as we saw Jared Meese down there at Charlotte. So I don't know exactly what happened, but I did hear the rumors that something was going to be, you know, happening. So obviously it did. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the protest was disallowed. So, I mean, everything stays the same. The results are final. And move on to Springfield. So, you know, we've been talking about Charlotte so much, we didn't even get a chance to talk about our guest for the show tonight. We got Colin Edwards coming on, ex-MotoGP racer, World Superbike. Shoot, I don't even know everything this guy's ridden. He's been successful in many different disciplines. He is the current owner of Texas Tornado Boot Camp. It's I guess you could say it's a flat track-related school. They do a lot of flat track, TT, and stuff like that. I heard it's an amazing camp, a lot of fun. A lot of great guys have been there, Valentino Rossi, Bradley Smith, Jake Johnson is a co-host, yeah, that's you, Scotty. He's an instructor at the camp, and I'm excited to bring him on. We're going to talk with him a little bit about his background in flat track, and also he's got a big, big mini bike, Mad Dog National, coming up in a couple weeks, and we'll get some insight on that. I want to drop a thank you to our sponsors. Without them, this wouldn't be possible. They keep us rolling every week. Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers, make sure you check them out. I just got, for my wedding, my sister got me a super awesome number 65 necklace. And on the back of the necklace, it has my dad's handwriting. It says, "Love you, Dad," the way he used to sign all of our, you know, Christmas cards and all that. It was awesome. It's the first time I cried in a while when I saw this necklace. And Tommy Duma, they did an amazing job. It's my 65, the number styling that I use. Just great, great work on the necklace. So you have any kind of jewelry, flat track related you want it done right, check out tdfja.com. Evans Coolant, you know, my bike was overheating a little bit this past weekend, and I, you know, come to find out we didn't have Evans Coolant in it, so put Evans Coolant in it and didn't have any problems the rest of the night, so we were good to go. And also Light Shoe, I use Light Shoe, Brad Baker, Mark Marquez, Wyatt McGuire, there's a long list, Jeffrey Carver, a lot of people that use Light Shoe. So if you have any need for a steel shoe, you want to turn left and go fast, hit up lightshoe.com. But great show on deck, Scotty. I'm stoked to get it going. We're about 20 minutes into it. We have Colin coming on in 10-15 minutes here, but a lot has been going on, and you know, it's been good for the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, we got a lot of momentum going right now, and I can't wait to get to Springfield and see what's happening there and see who's going to win at the Springfield Mile. You got any predictions? You want to talk about that a little later on?
No, we can touch upon it now. I mean, yeah, Springfield's, you know, one of the best weekends for a flat track racer all season. You get to run the short track on Saturday night, and you get to run the Springfield Mile on Sunday, and that's the most fun racetrack, I think, as far as a flat tracker that you can race all season. It's fast. It's unique, a lot of drafting. It's usually tabletop smooth. and I'm looking forward to it. I rode it this or, you know, earlier in the year on the Yamaha FZ07, and we were really down on power, so it wasn't the most fun day for me. You know, I was riding my booty off and for 11th place in my semi, and that's not where I want to be or need to be. So it wasn't the best weekend for me in the spring, but looking forward to running the Vulcan S. You know, we're, like I said, I'm going out to Iowa to get the thing dynoed, and hopefully we got some ponies. You know, it's only a 700cc, so we're going to be down a little bit on power, but hoping I can make up for it in corner speed. But I'm looking forward to Springfield. Just predictions. I mean, if I had to bet money, it's hard to bet against the 42. He's got a really fast bike. He's a good mile rider, and he seems to have momentum on his side once again. You know, it's hard to see anybody kind of stealing that victory from him. I expect Jake Johnson to do well in the factory Harley. He's a good mile rider. They seem like they got some more ponies out of this bike this year, and Jake has a lot of experience at Springfield. He's a multi-time former winner at that racetrack. Jared Meese will be tough, Kenny Coolbeth, a bunch of former winners, and it'll be good. Springfield's one of those racetracks where you don't really know what to expect. Everyone's so close and comes down to the last lap draft, and whoever plays that last lap the best usually pulls off the win.
What are your thoughts about the Triumph? Do you think Brandon Robinson can have that Triumph up there? He ran a real solid fourth place finish at Charlotte, which is a totally different racetrack, but I think they've been working on some things and getting that bike better and better as well.
Yeah, the Triumph looked good at Charlotte. It pays off having a guy like Brent Armbruster in your pits. I still think Brent is one of the top mechanics in the sport, and I think he's the main reason they turned that program around this past season. I mean, Brandon's an excellent rider, but having Brent there, you know, and working on the bikes during the week, that was definitely a really good investment for those guys. And I expect him to be competitive for sure. You know, he'll be up there in the top 10, top 5. You know, it's just there's so many good guys that go well at Springfield. It's just tough to say. Like I said, you don't know what to expect. But I think the Triumph will be good. You know, I think they had a mechanical there spring, so hopefully the bike stays together for them. And if it does, I expect them to be up front.
Well, it was just kind of, for me, it was just kind of weird because I expected Jake Shoemaker to do well at Charlotte, and he didn't make the main event. You touched upon that earlier, but, you know, that's a completely separate Triumph team, and I haven't talked to Jake afterwards and seen what happened, or I don't even remember even talking about him while I was calling the race, so I don't know what happened to Shoemaker. Another one I wanted to mention, too, going back to Charlotte a little bit, is Henry Wiles. Probably the best use of a provisional start card this year. He started 19th and worked his way all the way up to the 7th place finish, so not sure why he had to use the provisional. I mean, I don't know what he was, you know, why he's struggling early on in the day, but he found something in the main event. So he'll carry some momentum into Springfield,
I think I read somewhere in Cycle News that he was testing some stuff with a shock or what have you, but he definitely looked off the pace for sure. I watched the heat race, and he was mid-pack, you know, coming from a guy who just dominated at Peoria to go to Charlotte and not make the final. I mean, it was pretty shocking for me, to be honest, to line up and see him taking a provisional and on the fourth row. Good. I mean, it's good they have a provisional, some of those guys, but I'm kind of against it. You know, obviously I don't have a provisional start card, so people could say I'm biased because I don't have one, but I think, you know, the beauty of flat track, everyone's so close, and back in the day they didn't have provisionals. You didn't make the final, you didn't make the main event. So the provisional start card, it's good for those guys, you know, but I think you should earn it. You know, motocross, they don't have a provisional star card that I'm aware of. Other, you know, disciplines, you got to earn your keep every weekend. And I just think it's kind of lame that they give provisional star cards to the top 10 guys. I mean, granted, again, I don't have one, but I think I can, you know, I'm confident in saying that even if I had one, I still would kind of be against it. It's just, I just don't get it really. You know, it's, every week's different. There's different style racetracks, and you gotta earn your way up there. You know, you got a heat, and you have a semi to get the job done. And if you don't get it done, you know, pack up.
Right. Well, that being said, what's interesting to me is there's only 3 riders that have made every final this year, and that seems like a really, really low number to me. And you know, we still have 4 rounds left, so it's been a tough season for all you racers. I mean, we've had, like you said, all the different racetracks, and even with provisional start cards, we've had, you know, only 3 riders make every main event. And I'm talking not only GNC 1 class, but it's the same way in GNC 2. and there are no provisional start cards there. So it is an interesting rule, and I don't know if that rule will stay around or, you know, that's something they're even going to be discussing. While we're on our little soapboxes, I'm going to go into the national number deal. I say if you don't make a national that year, you lose your number the next year. I say let's get back to the way it used to be and make the national number more prestigious and make it more important to everybody.
Oh, I agree 100% with the national number rule. I mean, there's guys who have a national number right now who haven't made a main in 3 years. And I just, yeah, I mean, it's just there's so many national numbers now, guys that haven't been racing, guys that haven't been making finals. It's just, you know, if you want to keep that national number, you gotta show up, you gotta race, you gotta make a main event. I think a lot, you know, I don't know how much this plays in you know, how much this factors in, but a lot of these guys I don't think are racing because they have a national number. They have no reason to race to keep their national number. I think if you brought that back to where you had to make a final every year to keep your national number, you'd have guys showing up and trying to make that happen more. You know, right now the rider counts, you know, they're kind of low, and I think a way you could help that, maybe, you know, four or five extra guys, especially towards the end of the season, you know, make it so you have to make a final or you don't get to keep your number. So that's, yeah, I'm with you, man, 100% on that. I've been saying that for 2 years now, and that's just how I think it should be, you know. That's how it was when I was younger. When I was growing up, you had to keep, you know, making finals to earn it. Now, you know, I can say that, you know, some of these guys can say they've had a national number for 10 years, but they only made one final,
right,
and they kept
right.
it for 10 years because they kept signing a piece of paper to renew their card. So, yeah, I'm with you, buddy. What's up with that Denver Broncos shirt you have on, man?
I'm still a Denver Bronco fan. There's no professional football team here in Oklahoma, so most people here are either Dallas Cowboys fans or Kansas City Chiefs fans, but I actually lived in Denver for a year when I was little, and a lot of my mom's side of the family lives out there, so I'm still a Bronco fan. So,
I mean, it's better than being, like you said, it's better than being a Cowboys fan. I mean,
exactly.
I'm not diehard. I don't have Eagles underwear, but I'm an Eagles fan, so Cowboys would be, I'd have to dislike you a little bit,
yeah.
You know, if you
yeah.
had a Cowboys shirt on. I wouldn't even be Skyping you right now if I saw you had a Cowboys shirt on. So
I was just
curious on the Denver.
I
wasn't sure because I know you're Oklahoma. So, I mean, I was just a little curious about that.
Yeah, like I said, there's no professional football teams here. So you gotta go back a little ways. And like I said, I lived in Denver for a little while. So my daughter got this one for me for my birthday. So I decided to wear it today. So. Anyway,
nice, man. Your 50th birthday or what?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, I'm almost twice as old as you.
I had my birthday just a couple. What was it?
It's the day before mine.
Two weeks ago.
You keep forgetting that yours was a whole day before mine.
Yeah, I try to forget my birthday, and when you get older, you try and skip over it so you don't get any older.
Right.
But,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I saw a post somewhere that you're going to move to and live on Lake Norman one day before you die.
Yeah, I'd love to, dude. I love Lake Norman. That was gorgeous. We didn't really know much about Charlotte when we came down. So the first day we went over downtown Charlotte, checked out the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and that was kind of cool. I mean, if you're a hillbilly and you love NASCAR, I mean, NASCAR is cool. Like, I follow it and I respect all the guys, but to walk around in the museum for couple hours, it was, you know what I mean, like, not my speed. I like to stay active, and we went over to Dale Jr. He has a little bar and grill there in downtown Charlotte. I forget the name of it. It's not worth remembering. It was a terrible experience. So Dale Jr., if you're listening into our Flat Track Weekly Radio Show, you need to fix that place up, man. The service is terrible. So yeah, went over to that, and so the first day in Charlotte, we just kind of did the tourist thing, you know, went downtown Charlotte and did some research and found out about Lake Norman. That was awesome, dude. It's a beautiful lake. A lot of the NASCAR drivers live off of it, and we went paddleboarding and swimming 2 days in a row. And the other day, there's a big whitewater rafting place down there. It's all man-made. It's huge. They got zip lining, ropes courses, rock climbing, all kinds of stuff. We did that one of the days and went jogging in the woods. And yeah, Charlotte, dude, Charlotte's awesome. I really like it down there. If it stays warm in the winter, I got to do some research. I'm not sure what the weather is like in the winter, but if it's like kind of warm in the winter, I wouldn't mind moving down there. It's beautiful. I just don't know if I can afford Lake Norman. I think those houses were pretty big. I I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I race flat track, so I might have to get a new job if I want to move down there.
I was going to say, you're going to have to start winning some nationals, like probably 5 a year to help make your first payment, you know?
Yeah, 5 a year and not have to pay for anything. So,
right.
Yeah, exactly. And race for another 20 years because, you know, you don't have a super long career as a top-level flat tracker. You might get, you know, 10 to 20 years in. And then you got to find a new job. I mean, Chris Carr, he's an announcer now with you, man. So it's good for him that he can stay involved in the sport. That's kind of hope I want to do when I get older. I want to do something involved with racing, you know, not necessarily flat track, but that'd be great if I could stay in flat track. But anything to do with motorcycle racing, that's kind of what I want to do when I get old and grow up and get a real job.
But they always told me that a real job wasn't nothing but work. So I don't want to get a real job either. I think I'll just keep selling Harley Davidson parts, or not parts, but product, and keep announcing as long as I can.
Yeah, I thought you guys did a great job too. Like I said, I just watched the Fan Choice coverage, and you guys seem to be getting better. The flow keeps going better and better. Danny's stepping up her game a little bit, and I really liked watching the coverage. It was good. I sat back today and I watched my semi and wanted to see what mistakes I made. And because you forget, I mean, when you're racing, so much stuff happens. Oh yeah, I remember that. Like, you know, it you just don't think about it when you're out there, and then you go back and watch the footage, and you're like, oh, that's right. And I for example, after the there's a restart, and after the restart, I went into turn one on the restart, and somebody in front of me ran into somebody else, pushed that rider wide. I think what is it, Mikey Martin and Rob Pearson, but I dove underneath both of them, and it was like it was cool. Like, they kind of opened the door for me, and I snuck right underneath both of them. So that was kind of cool. I forgot that even happened until I went back and I saw the Fans Choice coverage. I'm like, oh, nice. You know, I forgot about that moment. So it's cool to have that tool as a racer, you know, go back. And as soon as they put the film up from the previous weekend, I go on there and I do a little bit of studying, take notes, and write down what I need to do for the next race. You know, Charlotte, I heard they're going to be back next season. So I want some notes. I took gearing notes and write down different lines. And it's good to have that footage, man. It's for all the racers. I recommend it.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see, you know, I haven't seen more people in the pit area with a laptop and trying to keep, you know, watch while they're in the pits and try to keep up with the track. Like you said, you were close enough where you could actually stand by the fence and watch and seeing how the track was changing as they went on. But I figure it won't be too much longer before people will be watching on their laptops or on their phones, see what's going on out there.
Yeah, no doubt, Scotty. I was actually in the nosebleed section. I was pitted. I was pitted away from everybody, and it was like the longest. I wasted half a tank of gas driving down to get onto the racetrack. But yeah, it was cool because I had good seats on the back straightaway to watch some of the action, and that was convenient. But yeah, no, it was a great show and a great race. I know we've talked about it quite a bit. Our next guest is on the line right now. We're gonna take a quick commercial break here, and we come back, we'll talk with Colin Edwards.
Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam, which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees, far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
We are back, and our first guest is on the line. He is, I guess I could say he's an avid dirt track fan. He has his own school that seems to be really successful. A lot of great riders have come through it, and he's hosting a big mini bike race coming up here in a short few weeks. X-MotoGP racer, retired, Colin Edwards. How are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great, man. We're excited to have you on the show. I've heard a lot of great things about you. I've watched you on TV and the MotoGP series over the past couple years, and I'm a big fan, so I'm stoked to have you on the show, and we appreciate you coming on.
Dude, it's all lies, man. Whatever you heard, it's all lies.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's the truth, right?
If you read it on the internet, it's got to be true. That's what they tell me.
Exactly.
Well, first off, man, let's talk about your background in the sport of flat track. You know, you got the Texas Tornado Boot Camp, which you started up, I guess it was, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. How did that all get started, and what was the reasoning behind it?
Oh, man, where do I start? Honestly, I would say my first flat track, or let's say my first TT race, would have been, I don't know, probably 79 or 80, a day after Kenny Roberts and those guys were dirt tracking in the Astrodome. But I was never really a big dirt tracker. You know, I was just more in the motocross at that stage, but it just happened to be an event we could go to and have fun. And then got into road racing, and, you know, road racing was one of those things where you just can't go practice, and there's just nowhere to go practice. You know, motocross, I was used to practicing every day, riding a bike, and then road racing, it seemed like the only time you got to ride a bike was at the track. So, you know, I went to Kenny Roberts Ranch in 92, and I saw what they were doing with Kenny Jr., and I stayed there for a couple weeks and played, and I thought, yeah, that works. And we've just kind of been doing it ever since, you know, mini bikes, low risk, you know, just kind of keeping that feel, I guess, and playing with technique at a low risk.
Well, it sounds like it's an awful successful, you know, boot camp. A lot of fast people have gone through there, like Corey said just a little while ago. And one thing I haven't seen yet, do people wear steel shoes when they come down? I know you still have a lot of flat track, you know, racers that come down, and they're part of your squad that teaches these people how to ride. Do you guys wear steel shoes, or do you just guys wear normal motocross boots?
I might get into a lot of trouble here, but yeah, our cheaters can wear some steel shoes.
I don't
mean to be rude in any way, shape, or form. Dirt tracking is steel shoe, of course, but we play a lot without a steel shoe. There, 99.9% of the time, I'm riding feet up. I don't like to make mistakes. So it just depends on the level of the rider, honestly. I mean, most of our folks are doing leg out, you know, and saving a front end tuck here and there. And then we push them. We try to get them, you know, if they get tired, that little lifter muscle gets a little tired, we tell them to go feed up. But obviously, you know, Jake Johnson and Corey West at times, I think they'll put a steel shoe on for Super Paul lap for sure.
Yeah, Jake's actually a really good friend of mine. I know he's been doing a lot of instructing at your super camp, or sorry, super camp. Shouldn't say that word, I guess, the boot camp. And Jake's, you know, he's been instructing. How did you get hooked up with Jake?
Yeah, that's kind of a mystery. It, you know, we needed somebody, and Jake, I don't know if it would have been Corey or Fuchs or somebody got in touch with him, and it just seemed like a perfect fit, and we thought, okay, because we got such a cool vibe, honestly, with everybody there. There's no – can I cuss on the show or no?
You can if you want to.
No, you can cuss, man.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we don't have any, like, prima donnas or assholes, or, you know, we don't have anybody with a big ego. But, I just really didn't know we needed somebody to fit in that was like us. And once Jake showed up and did a camp, we were like, wow, it's perfect, you know. And he showed up maybe a little shy and a little, you know, not really knowing where his place was, but it took him a next camp showed up, and he's just one of the guys. It's been great. It's great having him there. He can do some stuff on a motorcycle I've been riding motorcycles for 38 years, and he still blows me away. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, he definitely is a natural on the motorcycle. He's, you know, he came from off the couch and ran sixth at the Peoria TT, and then he just raced this last weekend, finished eighth at Charlotte. So, you know, from not even racing, you know, most of the season, he rode, you know, he rode the doctor's bike down there at the X Games. You were a part of that, and I was going to talk to you a little bit about the X Games. You actually got to be the live event announcer there, and tell us how that went and your perception. What did you take away from the X Games?
It was great. I mean, obviously, to have it as an event was awesome. Sorry to everybody that went because the track was totally not up to par. But, you know, it's X Games. You know, it is what it is. You bring what you bring and you run what you bring. And the track, obviously, we had a lot of rain around here at that time, and it kind of washed the track away. It could have been a little bit smoother track surface, but they worked their butts off. And as far as even just having the event at the X Games was awesome. And fortunately, Dr. Henry, he had a bike sitting at the boot camp. It's kind of a museum piece, honestly. And Jake said, "Hey, I need a bike." And I called Doctor. He called Doc, and he's like, "Hell yeah, come on, we'll put some oil in it." Obviously, we got to pull all the oil out of it because it leaked all over the freaking floor. So, it is Harley. We put some oil in it and got it fired up, and there he was.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thought, yeah, like you said, the track is what it is. It wasn't the greatest, but it was the same track for everybody, and that's all we had. It was either race on that or not, not race at all. And I'm sure every single rider out there, just wanted to race in front of that crowd and in front of that national audience. But yeah, I heard, you guys do the Super Pole down there, which, that's kind of unique to most camps. You guys actually, you race for times, and that seems like it's a lot of fun. Who usually wins the Super Pole? I mean, does Jake usually win? Do you show him what's up? I mean, who usually runs around there the fastest?
we went for – interesting story. Obviously, the track's always different, depending on moisture in the track or how hard slick it is. I prefer to do Super Pole when it is at its absolute slickest. Imagine polished concrete with baby powder on it. That's where my bike works the best. Whenever there's a lot of moisture in the track, Jake and Fooch, and I mean, these guys figure out how to extract the most out of the bike. But yeah, I went for a long time and was undefeated for probably, a year and a half, and then Joe P beat me. Joe P is not a very small dude, and I was kind of pissed off about it, and I learned that he had put a new Bridgestone front on just before Super Pole, and it was like a qualifying tire, so that ended pretty quick. I had to go get one of those front tires. I would say Jake Fooch, not this previous camp, but the one before that, Corey West dominated. It just kind of depends, I mean, we show up and you'll have five guys, even though it's a minute and 20 seconds, you'll have five guys in three-tenths, four-tenths. So we're extracting about all we can out of it. And, it's been fun. And the Super Bowl, we don't really race a whole lot. We have our racer camp, at the end of January, beginning of February. We do a lot of competition at that camp. Most of our camps, we like to stay away from bar banging just because, we have clients that want to come and learn. Without all the pressure of competing. So Super Pole was just a way to compete against yourself. At the end of every day, everybody's got their engines off. You fire yours up, mark, set, go. Everybody's watching. And it's a good learning thing because you can do 9,000 things in the day and you do it perfect. But as soon as somebody says mark, set, go, and everybody's watching, you revert right back to your instincts and you start screwing up left and right. So it's a good learning tool as well.
Sounds like the switch in your brain shuts off and you're the only one out there and everybody's watching. It's like you're underneath a microscope. So I know the feeling for sure. But let's talk about what's coming up. The Colin Edwards Texas Tornado Boot Camp Mad Dog National presented by Race Fuels and Speed Mob. That's going on September 26th. A $3,000 pro purse, man. I mean, that sounds like a pretty cool event.
Yeah, you just named a couple of them there. We have so many sponsors that have pitched in. We got a bunch of local companies as well that have pitched in just to get their name on the poster and stuff. And And honestly, without them, we couldn't do it. But it's this was one of Joe Prisciano's babies. He thought, you know what? I think so. We had dirt wars. I mean, we just had our 10th dirt war last weekend, and we usually run a Mad Dog class at dirt wars. Bring what you want, as long as it's within tire specifications or whatever. And we started getting 17, 18, 22 Mad Dog bikes. We got a big Dallas Colt up north, and we got a Houston Colt here, and we've had some guys drive from Pennsylvania to come down and play. And he said, let's just do a national. Let's raise some money and put a big purse there, and let's see who shows up. So it's kind of – and we got a few different pro classes and some other classes, and a women's class and a kids class. So it's going to be a good night of racing.
Now, how does that work? You know, I know for the camps you guys supply bikes. Do you supply the bikes for the national? Is everyone on stock motorcycles, stock tires? I do a lot of mini bike riding myself, so I know how much of a difference certain tires can make. And, you know, a 120 kit on a 100, it makes a huge difference. So how does that work? Do you guys supply the bikes, or do the riders bring their own?
We have I'm going to tell a story here, but I think the TTR 125, whenever you put a 150 kit, it's actually like a 143 or 146. I'm not really sure. So we're going to have a class for those and under. So obviously you got your CRF 150s. If you put a big bore kit, it's like a 175 or something. So then we're going to have a class above that. And it's basically just depending on wheel size. You know, I mean, you can obviously run 17-inch front and rears, I think, if you want kind of supermoto style, but 19-inch front, 16 rear, kind of in that specification. It has to be somewhat of a mini bike, and you can't roll up there on a 230 or a 250 or something. But as long as it's within that, it's pretty much whatever you want to build, and it's your bike. It's not ours. All of our bikes are stock, apart from instructor bikes. But the Mad Dog National is bring your own bike. We're assuming if you have your own bike, you have your own gear, but we could obviously rent some gear to you if you need. And it's, it should be just the pit alone, as far as seeing some of the hodgepodge things put together, should be another story itself.
Well, it's also open to the public, so you're expecting spectators are welcome to come and watch and can they walk around the pit area, like you just said, and see everybody? I mean,
absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Cool.
And I mean, all of our dirt wars, I mean, you know, we got John Hayner, which is a name from the past, but he's got a big, badass 175, you know, CRF, and Joe's got his tricked out thing. We got a few trick bikes that show up here, and all the spectators come. They pay, I think, it's $5 to come in. We have a concession stand. Everybody watches. We've got a little intermission, and you know, go there, bike, and go get some food. It's just a good time. It's a good night. And the racing at this Mad Dog National should be pretty elbowy, if you know what I'm saying.
$3,000 purse, man. I would expect it to get kind of elbowy.
Exactly. It's gonna get fun to watch. That's for sure.
Is it a TT or is it a short track?
From what I'm hearing, there will be, it's a TT, there will be one right-hand corner, and we basically covered a football field, so it's 100 yards long, 50 yards wide. Your lap time, I don't know, I'm going to, that's probably 30-second lap times or something like that. There is going to be one right turn, so it will be somewhat of a TT-ish type track.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. I was looking up some information about it. I saw the flyer, and I actually was, you know, maybe going to make plans to head down and do it. You know, like I said, I ride a lot of mini bikes. Me and Jake ride quite a bit, but unfortunately, it's the same weekend as Calistoga Grand National. A little bummed, you know. I was hoping to make the trip down there. For, you know, I've never been down to the camp. I've heard a lot of great things about it, so looking forward to to making it down there. I'm super bummed, but everyone that goes, they're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, $3,000 up for grabs on mini bikes, you know, on a TT. There's going to be a lot of hard racing, and I'm sure it'll be really good for spectators and all the racers attending.
Absolutely, absolutely. At the same time, we have our Halloween camp after that, which is basically on Halloween weekend. You should make some plans. Come see us anytime. We'll put you in as a guest instructor. Come play.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to make it down there and check out the school. You guys, you know, in addition to the racing and instructing, you guys also shoot guns. And I think that's pretty awesome. I've seen some video of you guys blasting off some guns. And I'm not the hunter in the family. My little sister, Shana, I'm actually looking at her 12-point deer in our living room right now. She's the hunter in the family, but I wouldn't mind going down there and shooting some guns too. You know, are you an avid sportsman as far as that goes with the guns and all that stuff? How'd you get kind of hooked up with that stuff?
Obama got elected, and he got elected, and I thought, man, I'm gonna lose some rights here. So I kind of went on a binge of probably 2 years buying at least a gun a week. You know, I just passed by the gun store and see what they had new and see what they could talk me into. And it got to be a pretty expensive habit there for a while. And, I've slowed down on that. Avid hunter, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I put some meat in the freezer here and there if I have to. But a buddy of mine's got a mile range right up the road, so he's got steel plates from 400 yards out to a mile, and I kind of prefer to go out there and tinker with loads and a load my own bullets and have a few guns and just go out there and play.
Well, Colin, we appreciate you coming by, and we appreciate your humor, and we wish you well on your race coming up. If more information on that, TexasTornadoBootCamp.com. You can still sign up. You can get pre-entered. You can also post in there if you haven't signed up yet, but usually when we let our racers go at the end of our segments, we let them thank their sponsors. You want to say thanks to anyone while we have you on here?
No. I mean, you know, Yamaha. There you go.
There you go.
Couldn't do any of this without them. So, yeah, Yamaha, Ryle, those guys. They know who they are. But, yeah, and y'all come on out. It's going to be fun.
Sounds good. You come out to some of our Grand Nationals, and we'll see you. We'll trade spots with you. So we appreciate you coming on. We wish you well in your event coming up September the 26th, the Mad Dog National at the Texas Tornado Boot Camp. Colin, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again.
You got it. You guys have a good one.
That was the Texas Tornado himself, Colin Edwards. Corey, we got time for one more quick break, and then we'll come back with some closing thoughts.
Yeah, let's do it, Scotty. We'll run a commercial. We'll be right back.
All right.
Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
And we're back. Colin Edwards is funny, man. That's the first time I ever talked with him. He's a pretty funny guy. I was talking to my buddy Matthew Miles today, and he just spoke with Colin on the phone previous to our combo, and he said, you're having Colin on the show. I just talked to him. He said, be careful what you wish for, just joking around. He said Colin's a really funny guy, and I think that's awesome, man. All these guys, you know, once they get older, they start to open up their personalities a little more, like Troy Bayliss, and he was hilarious. We had him on the show, and Colin Edwards, and it's just great having these guys on. Springer, you know, he cracks me up. I was talking with Springsteen a little bit prior to sign up on Saturday. Friday, we went over and got an early entry sign up for my wife, Amber, and my family. It's crazy to say my wife, man. That's cool. My wife, Amber, and my family, and I was talking to Springsteen, and I just love talking to some of those guys, man. It's like, it's just awesome. Like, the stuff they say cracks me up.
Yeah, I got to meet Colin a couple times, and we were in a few meetings together at the X Games, which was different, and just listening to him talk, and just like he was on the radio show, that's Colin. I mean, it's cool that, you know, he's free to open up and talk and say what's on his mind. And I appreciate that and respect that from him for sure.
He said, "Can I curse on the show?" Yes, sir. You can do whatever you want.
Tom Edwards, you can do whatever you want. That's right. He earned it.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I dropped an F-bomb clear as day. So, you know, some lower level curse words here and there. I don't think anyone's going to be too upset about. But no, it was cool having him on.
Your mom still mad at you for that. She told me about it last time I saw her. So she's still mad at you for doing that.
Yeah, I believe it, man. She's on my toes. But yeah, it was a great show. We got to talk a lot about Charlotte. We talked a lot about Springfield coming up this weekend. Last week we didn't have a show. I was honeymooning and you were working. Yeah, you were at the Harley dealer meeting there in Las Vegas. So we caught up with it. Caught up on some information on this week's show and had a great guest, Con Edwards. I'd love to get down to that mini bike national, man. I can ride a mini bike pretty well. I do okay at the flat track thing as far as the big bikes go, but when it comes to a mini bike, I take that shit serious. You know, I've been riding mini bikes for a long time, and that's my forte. So I'd love to get down there and that race one year. Hopefully next year they don't have it on the same weekend as the Grand National. I'm also in a little bit of a predicament because I have, you know, Calistoga, and then this very same day in York, Pennsylvania, is my dad's memorial, the Randy Texter Memorial, and I didn't race it last year because I didn't have a twin to ride. Well, there's a pretty awesome twin sitting in my garage right now, Scotty, so I got to kind of figure out, talk to my sponsors and see what the, you know, I'm not in the points this year because I missed a ton of races in the GNC series, so I might be open to doing York again this year. I've always had success there, and, you know, it's someone very special to me's memorial race, so got to figure out what I'm doing. But yeah, it's just, I look at my schedule and there's all these cool things on the same days coming up. It's just hard to pick which one you want to do. So
yeah, I bet. Maybe you should wait and see how Springfield pans out, maybe see what happens in Delaware, and then you got a couple of good finishes there, you might carry that on to Calistoga. But it'd be hard to skip your dad's memorial race for the second year in a row. I know the first year I went out there and did that race, you kicked everybody's ass, and it would be cool to see you do it on twin as well.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'd like to get back there and grab a win. And it's only 35 minutes from my house. You know, Calistoga is 42 hours, so it's a little bit different.
A little bit different.
Like 80 times farther to Calistoga than York. But I didn't make it to California this year, and I love California. I got a lot of great friends out there, and just the atmosphere and Mexican food and the ocean. And I just, you know, I need my California fix too. So it's driving me nuts. Maybe when I get to Vegas, if I don't do Calistoga, maybe I'll swing over to the coast for a little bit and hang out. But yeah, that's all I got, buddy. It was a great show. Looking forward to next
week.
Good. Keep hitting us up on Instagram at Flat Track Weekly Radio and on Facebook as well. Got a lot of great stuff on there. Updates for the shows, news on guests. You can listen to our archive podcast on iTunes. I think I nailed everything down, Scotty.
You knocked it out of the park right there. Yeah, don't forget, awesome. Coming up this Friday is the Class of 79 and Friends Golf Tournament there in Springfield. They're still taking entries. If you want to sign up and golf with some professional flat track racers, you can still do so. Check them out on Facebook. Saturday morning is the short track amateurs, and then Saturday night, All-Star Short Track, and also the Astro Cup Saturday night there in Springfield. I get to be a part of that again. And then the Springfield Mile coming up Sunday. So we got a busy weekend, and then we'll be back here on Tuesday night. That's all I got, Corey. I appreciate it. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday night. Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Good night.